Okay, we're going to start here on the Mishnah on Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah is concerning the format, the Mishnayot that we had seen until now, which is parson of two items, one of which has something that the other item does not have. And that is, Kasher b'Kohanim Pasul b'Levim. That which is fine by the Kohanim is problematic by the Nevim. Kasher b'Levim, that which is good by the Nevim, Pasul b'Kohanim. And right away, we always quote a Braita to help us understand the Mishnah. And the Braita says, Tanu Banan, Kohanim b'Mumim b'Psulim. A mum can create a problem for a kohen. A kohen has to be shalem without a mum in order to be able to perform the avoda. Bishanim, on the other hand, there is no age limit to a kohen. A kohen can continue to perform avodah without any limit on his age. Levim are the other way around. Bimumim ksherim. A mum does not affect a levi. Doesn't have to be shalem to perform the avodah of levim. On the other hand, bishanim psulim. That age does make a difference. Once he reaches the age of 50, he's disqualified performing the avodah of the levim. Nimtza. So the conclusion is what our Mishnah said. Kasher b'kohanim. That which is not problematic by the kohanim, age. Pasul b'levim creates a problem for a levi. Kasher b'levim. That which is not a problem by levim, mumim. Pasul b'kohanim does create a problem for kohanim. Menahane mile. Gemara wants to know, where do we know this from? We actually know it from Pashat Ba'alotcha. The beginning of Ba'alotcha where there is the prescription for the appointment of the levim to replace the bechorim. The end of that perek, it says, "Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor, Zot asher la'levim." This is for the levim. Miben chamesh v'esrim shana umala yavod etzvot zvaba v'dat olmoed. From 25 years and up, they will come to perform avod in the olmoed. Miben chamishim shana yeshuv mitzva avoda. Once they reach 50, they will retire v'lo yavodot. They'll be able to form Shmirah, but he won't be able to do Avodah. The Gemara is now going to darshan the beginning of that set of psukim, which is Zot Asher LaLevim. So Zot Asher LaLevim is completely extraneous, because the entire parak until that point has been speaking about the Levim. But what do we learn out of the word Zot Asher LaLevim? The Gemara says, Zot Asher LaLevim, Matom Lomar. Because it says, Umiben Chamishim Shana Yashuv, because it says when he reaches the age of 50, he must retire. Levim Shashanim Poslim Behem. So that we know by Levim is Posel years. Yochum Mumim Poslim Behem. I would think maybe Mumim should also be problematic for Levim. Vidinu, it's a Kavachomer, or really a Mematzinu. Ma Koanim Shena Shanim Poslim Behem. You look at the Koanim, they have no age limit. Mumim Poslim Behem. On the other hand, Mumim do affect them. Levim, Shashanim Poslim Behem. Levim that do have a problem with age, Einu Din Shei Mumim Poslim Behem. Certainly, Mumim should be problematic. Tamalomar, Azot Asher Levim. Zot is a mute. Zot Levim, Venacher Levim. The mute comes to teach you that this alone is problematic for Levim and nothing else. Yochol Yehu Koanim Poslim Bishanim. Let's work the other way around. Now we've established already that Levim only have a psul of Shanim, not of Mumim. What about the Kohanim? Kohanim, we know from the Torah, have a problem with psul Mumim, but maybe they should also have a problem with their age limit. And that is from the Kal Vachomer, Lo Dinu. Uma Levim, Shein Mumim Poslim Behem. So we just learned that of Vezot, Asher Levim, Shanim Poslim Behem, but nevertheless, we know that years are an issue for them. Kohanim, Shem Mumim Poslim Behem. Kohanim, which we know from the Torah, have a problem with Mumim, Einu Din Shei Shanim Poslim Behem. Certainly, years should be a problem for Kohanim. Tamalomar Asher Levim. That's Zot Asher Levim. So the first Zot is a mute to teach you that this alone is a problem for Levim and nothing else. And then Asher Levim comes to teach me Velo Asher LaKohanim. That this problem is a problem only for Levim and for no one else, meaning not the Kohanim. So now we've already established that Mumim are unique for Kohanim and Shanim are unique for Levim. I would think this issue of age, where they'd have to retire after a certain age, applies even to Shiloh, the Mishkan and Shiloh, and Beit Olamim. The Rashi points out, why is it called Beit Olamim? It's because that once the Mikdash is destroyed in Yerushalayim, it doesn't move anywhere else. It doesn't go anywhere else. That's not true. Places like Mishkan Shiloh, Nov and Kivon, they move on to the next location. Whereas by the Mikdash, it never moves location. So that's why it's called Beit Olamim. So I would think this age issue applies not only to the Mishkan and the Midbar, but also to Shiloh and Beit Olamim. Talmud Omar, the Pasuk says in Perek Dalet, when it's describing the counting of the Levim as well as the description of their work in the Mishkan, it says, Kol ha-pikudim, asher pakad Moshe v'Aron, Nisei Yisrael, t'levim, l'mishpachotam, l'vet otam, miben 30 shana v'mala, v'ad benim 50 shana, from 30 to 50, kol haba l'avod avodat avodah, v'avodat masa bo moed. Anybody who comes to do avodat avodah, plus avodat masa. So Gemara says, well, l'avod avodat avodah, avodat masa, lo amarti al zman she'avodah b'katef. Well, avodat masa is something that's unique to the midbar and to the mishkan and the midbar, because it's only applicable when you move. If you don't move, then it's not applicable. So since avodat masa is only applicable in the midbar, so too, there's a hekesh to the other part of the pasuk of avodat avodah. So avodat avodah will also be only applicable during the time that they're in the midbar, by the mishkan in the midbar. And therefore, the psul of shanim by Levi'im only applies in the midbar, not once they entered into Eretz Yisrael. Psukim that I read to you, we had from the psukim in Perachet in Balotcha, which says that the Levi'im begin their work be'esrim v'chamesh shanim, at 25 years old, and that zot asher Levi'im miben chamesh v'esrim shana v'mala, yavol litzvot tzva v'adat omoed. Whereas the pasuk that I just read you from Perek Dalet says, miben 30 shana v'mala v'ad ben 50 shana, kol haba l'avod avodat avodah v'adat masa bo'omoed. So it sounds like they start from 30. So which is it? Do they start from 25? Or do they start from 30? And that's what the Gemara asks here. Katuv achad omer miben 5 v'esrim shana ulamalo. Katuv achad omer miben 30. Yev shalomar 30. You can't say it starts from 30. Shekvar ne'emar k'chafei, because it says 25. You can't say 25, shekvar ne'emar 30, but it already says 30. Haketzad, how do I reconcile between the two of them? Chafhei lumod, he begins to apprentice to begin the process of learning to be a Levi from the time he's 25. And shloshim la'avodah, they become independent and begin to do the avodah when he reaches the age of 30. Mikan, from this we can conclude, the Talmid lo rasiman yafeh bit mishnato, hei shanim shuv enu ro'eh. That if a student spent 5 years with the Rebbe and he's unsuccessful over those 5 years, then it's time to leave. He will not be successful after that. 5 years is a sufficient amount of time to test something, to know that beyond that point in time, that you will not succeed at it. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says, Gimel Shanim. No, you only need 3 years to make such a determination. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says in Daniel, here it's talking about after the Galut that is brought, Bishnat Shalosh Malchut Yoyakim Melech Yudah, Nebuchadnezzar comes to Yerushalayim, he sieges it, and then he takes Yoyakim, Melech Yudah, and some of the Kelei Beit Hashem, he takes them back to Bavel. And then Nebuchadnezzar says to one of his servants, listen, why don't you go find me all the good Jewish children? I want them to come live in the palace with me. And on that it says, Yiladim, Asher Bein Mehem Kol Mum. They have no blemishes. V'tovi Mareh, and they look beautiful. Umaskilim B'chol Chachma. And they are bright. And they have the ability to live here in the palace of the king. To teach them from the book and the language of the Kasdim, the language of the Babylonians. They got rations from the king each day. And they grew up there shanim shlosh for 3 years. And out of that selected few, a couple of them will then become and become the ministers or stand before the king. And amongst them from Bnei Yehuda, and that's why it's found here, is Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They're amongst these children that are taken to the palace of Nebuchadnezzar and brought up in this special clinic for Jewish children to learn the proper Babylonian language and to serve the king. So over there it says, Shenemar ulegadam shanim shalosh, that they bring them up for 3 years. So the teaching period is 3 years. Then Ibazuk says, this is not in the Pasuk, Ulamdam Sefer Lashon Kazdim, which is in the previous Pasuk. If you remember what I just read, that's mentioned in the previous Pasuk. The Gemara joins them together, even though one of them is a latter Pasuk, and then we're referencing back to an earlier Pasuk. But the idea is the same, that they took them 3 years to Lamdam Sefer and Lashon Kazdim. So you see that 3 years is the proper time to appropriate to the possibility of learning or the success in learning. So v'idach, what is the other one going to say? I mean, the one who says that it's 5 years. What is he going to do with this 3 years? Shani l'shon kazdim. Shon kazdim, the Babylonian language is different. The kalil, it's easy to learn. It's easy to pick up. It's easy to learn. Therefore, you only need 3 years. V'idach, and Rabbi Yossi, who says that 3 years is the time period, then what does he do with the 5 years? So shani hilchot avodah the takifin. The Chot Avodah are different because they are very difficult and they are hard. So everybody agrees that there is 3 years and 5 years. The question is, which is the standard and which is the unusual? According to Rabbi Yossi, the standard is 3 years. The unusual is the 5 years when it's difficult subject matter. On the other hand, the Tanakhama says 5 years is the standard, and 3 years is when the material isn't so heavy duty, then you can do it in 3 years. So from that we learn either 5 years or 3 years is the time period that one has to dedicate in order to see if they are successful at learning with the Rebbe and able to remember that which they learned. All right, now the Gemara is going to deal with the Kohanim themselves. We said that there is no age limit by Kohanim, but in truth, there is some limitation to the Kohanim's service in the Mikdash, and that's what the Gemara is going to deal with until the next Mishnah, which is Tanur Banan. Kohen, Mishiavi, Shtei Se'arot, Ad Shiyazkin, Kasher Le'Avuda. A Kohen, from the time that he has Shtei Se'arot, from the time that he becomes an adult, from 13 years old and one day, Ad Shiyazkin, until he becomes too old, then he can do Avoda. Umimim Poslimbo, as we said in the Mishnah, Mum will affect the Kohen. Ben Levi, mi ben 30 vad ben 50 kasher la'avuda, from 30 until 50 is good for avuda, vishanim poslimbo, and his age does affect him. But medvar memorim, when is age a factor? Be'ol mo'ed shabem midbar. That's only in the Omoed in the midbar. Aval b'shilo, beit olamim, ein nifsalim elu bakol. Then they are only affected by their voices, of their ability to maintain the sweetness of their voice, because Amar Rabbi Yossi Maikra, what's the pasuk that we learn this out from? So that is from the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, when it's talking about the consecration of the Mikdash, Ayidei Shlomo Melech, so there they bring in the Aron and the Kohanim and the Levi'im. And it says, in Pasuk Yud Bet there, V'alevi'im ha-mishorarim l'chulam l'asaf l'heiman l'idutan v'levnehem l'achachem melabshim butz v'mitzel tayim u'menivalim v'kinyorot omdim mizrach l'mizbeach v'imhem Kohanim l'meya v'esrim mach. They're the trumpeting Kohanim. They're alongside all these musicians of the Levi'im. Vehi keachad lamichatzrim. The pasuk the way quoted here is quoted as the Ktiv and not the Kri. The Ktiv has two tzadis in it, but truthfully, there's only one tzadi in the Kri, which is lamichatzrim to the trumpeters, v'la mishorerim and the singers, lashmia kol echad to have a singular voice, v'halel odot Hashem. V'harim kol b'chatzotzrot u'mitzaltayim b'kli hashir u'b'alel Hashem ki tov ki l'olam chasto v'abayit malei anan beit Hashem. So the need for the Levi'im to sing is that they're able to unite with the Kohanim, the trumpeters, and to have a single voice. And that's what Rashi says over here. Kol echad shutzichim levasem et kolam shein nirek kol echad. They have to be able to control their voice in such a manner that they all are on the same key and they all sound the same. So as long as one can do that, then that's fine. Outside of the Midbar. In the Midbar, they have a problem where they have to retire after year number 50. But besides that, once you're in Mishkan Shiloh or in the Beit Olamim, the only thing that will fulfill them is if their voice quality breaks. If their voice quality breaks, then they can no longer serve in the role of the singers in the Mikdash. So now the Gemara goes back and says, the Kohanim, we said there was a limit on the upper end, that Ad Shiyazkin, until they become too old. What does it mean that you become too old? Ad Kamo. What does it mean too old? So Amar Rabbi Allah, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Ad Shiratet, until he is shaking or quivering. Rashi suggests over here, Yadav Raglav, Rototim Me'in Koach, because he has enough strength to hold them steady, and therefore they shake or they quiver. We know that today that people who, as they get older, lose the ability to maintain the steady motor function, and therefore they tremor, they quiver, even without doing anything. And that's what's referring to here. That means that they're too old. Tanan Hatam. We have a Mishnah over there, which seems to give a slightly different definition. Balkeri shitaval velohi tilmaim. Someone who has a seminal emission, and then he goes to do tefillah to be mitahir himself, velohi tilmaim, but he did not urinate before he went to the mikveh. Likishi atil, when he does urinate, tamei, he becomes tamei again, because the residual semen that is in the urinary tract will come out, and that any sighting of semen, the smallest amount, makes you tamei again. So you become tamei again because of that residual that's there. The obvious solution is to urinate before you go to the mikveh, and then you won't have that problem. Now, Rabbi Yossi qualifies that statement. Rabbi Yossi Omer, b'chole b'zaken. This is only true of someone who's sick or older. Then he's tamei. B'yeled, someone who's young, ubari, and healthy, then tahor. Then there's no problem. You don't need the urination to remove all the semen, meaning that the process of the emitting of the semen is strong enough and powerful enough that it will remove anything that's there without having to urinate afterwards. So now the Gemara asks over there, Yeled ad kamo. How, until when is he can classify as a Yeled? Because whenever he's no longer a Yeled, then he becomes a Zakein. So that'll give us this definition again of someone who is a Zakein. So it sounds like from here that that level of zaken is much lower than it is in the previous statement. Well, because chole is opposite bari, and zaken is opposite yelet. Parallel structure there matches them up. It matches chole and bari, and then zaken and yelet. So the Gemara is going to give a definition which allows for this to overcome the problem of gadol, that yelet lasts for a much longer period of time than we would have assumed, because that's what it seems to be from the definition of the Mishnah. So Amar Rebbe Lava, Amar Chanina, kosho made al raglo achat, someone who can stand on one foot, v'choletz menalo, and take his shoe off, v'noel malo, or tie his shoe. And he's able to maintain his balance on one leg and perform some other operation on his other foot. Amru alav Rabbi Chanina, and this is what the Gemara is showing, that they're skipping this issue of adulthood in between, but yelid means anybody who has strength to perform this. That can be someone who's young, an adult, as long as they haven't reached that point of zakein, and probably would match up with the quivering that we have in the previous statement, which was Rashi says, ein bo koach. The reason that he quivers is because he doesn't have the strength. So that the two of them then would connect about when someone becomes a zakein. And Amar Rabbi Chanina, why did I have the strength? What gave me this ability to do this into my late age? Chamin, the hot water, the hot bath, fish shemen, tani, and the oils that I was anointed with, me, my mother, bialduti, in my young age, when I was a youngster, heinam duli beit zaknuti. That's what gave me young and strong when I got old. So he's praising his mother and that which his mother did that gave him the strength to do this even to his old age. All right, now we're going to move to the other direction, which is now we saw when the cutoff is the kohenim in the back end, when they're too old. What about in the front end? Where do they begin? When does a kohen begin performing avudah? Tanu Rabbanan, nitmale zakano, if his beard fills out, ra'oi lasot shliach tzibur, then the person becomes a shliach tzibur, and le'ered lifnei ha'teva, and then to be go down before the teva, v'lisa et kapav, and tochen, and to give birkat kohenim. Now, truthfully, shliach tzibur and yered lifnei ha'teva are really synonymous. So why is the statement in the Tosefta differentiating between them? So Tosfot points out over here, le'ered lifnei ha'teva is somebody on occasion that goes down to daven for the Amud. Shliach tzibur is someone who is appointed by the community to always be the shliach tzibur, to be the permanent shliach tzibur. The way Rashi describes it over here, the shliach tzibur is more like the gabai, but the gabai who does other things, like he's the bal tokeya, he takes care of everything that the tzibur needs. More and more expansive role of the gabai, that's what the shliach tzibur is over here. In all these instances, you need nitmale zkano. You need that his beard be fully filled out, because it's not kavod tzibur without that. Meimatai kasher la'abuda. Now, the Gemara asks over here, when does a kohen become kasher la'avuda? Mishevi shtei sarot, once he reaches the age of puberty. Rabbi Omer ani ad shehei ben esrim. I say that he's got to wait until he's 20. Amar b'chista my time with the Rabbi. Where did Rabbi come up with this age of 20? Dichtiv, because it says by Ezra. This is the time of Zerubbabel, when they came back to Yerushalayim, they rebuilt the Mikdash. And the second year, and the year after they had rebuilt the Mikdash by Sukkot time, there it says in the Pasuk, Ubushana Shanit, Lova'am el Beit Elokim de Yerushalayim, Bechodesh Hashani, Hechilu Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel, V'yeshu ben Yotztak, Shar Echechem HaKohanim, V'alevi'im, V'chol Ba'im, Me Hashavi Yerushalayim, V'yamidu et Levi'im, V'ben Esrim Shana V'amala. They put into service Levi'im from 20 years and upward. L'natzeach al Melechet Beit Hashem, to oversee, to be the superintendents for everything that's taking place and all the avodah that's taking place in Beit Hashem. So you see here that 20 years old was the threshold at which they became the overseers of the avodah and the Mikdash. So we see that 20 is really that threshold. The Gemara says, wait a minute, how could you ever bring that as a proof? So the Gemara will come back and ask this in 1 second, because it's talking about over here, Levi'im, and we're trying to bring proof for Kohanim. So the Idach, so the other one who says, the Tanakamu disagrees with the Rabbi and says from the time of puberty it's enough from the age of 13. He says, L'natzeach shayni. Over there, overseeing, that's a much greater job. We're not talking about avodah over there. We're talking about overseeing the avodah. Overseeing the avodah can only be given to someone who's 20 years old. Rashi says, l'natzeach means, sounds like it's heavy-duty work or extra work, and therefore you would need someone who's 20 years old. But not that's the normal time frame where the kohen starts. Now, we're coming back to the question. V'ha ha'ikra b'levi'im k'tiv. Didn't this pasuk just say about the levi'im? V'yamidu et ha'levi'im mi'ben esrim shana. How could you bring that as a proof to Rabbi that kohenim start from 20 years old? Kid Reb Shua ben Levi, this is like Reb Shua ben Levi, Damar Reb Shua ben Levi, Besrim v'arba mikomot, Nikru'u Kohanim, Levi'im. 24 places in the Torah, the Kohanim are called Levi'im. Now, it makes sense. Kohanim are from Shevet Levi. So, Levi is both a toar, a description of a particular subset of Shevet Levi, but it's also a description of the entire Shevet. So Kohanim, not only are they Kohanim, a subset of Shevet Levi, but they're also Leviim, because they come from Shevet Levi. And how do we know this? V'zeh achad mehen. And this is one of them. One of them is from the Pasuk in Yechezkel, talking about the building of the third Beit HaMikdash. And then it says, who's going to come back to serve in the Mikdash? And it says, V'Kohanim ha-Leviim b'nei Tzadok. The Kohanim and the Leviim, who are the children of Tzadok. Tzadok, we know, is a Kohen. Asher shamru et mishmeret mikdashi. They kept the sanctification of my Mikdash. Bit'ot b'nei Yisrael ma'alai. When B'nai Israel left and were sent into Galut, Hema yikrevu elai l'sharteni, they'll come back to service me. V'amdu lifanai lakriv li chelev v'dam ne'um Hashem Elokim. And they will serve me in the Mikdash. And they will take care of the avodah Mikdash. And over here it says, a kohenim, ve'alevim b'nei Tzadok. Well, if Tzadok's a kohen, then the only thing that he's going to have in children are kohenim. So why is it called a kohenim ve'alevim, that are kohenim alevim b'nei Tzadok? Hello, what does that teach you? That Leviim is synonymous with Kohanim. Over here it means the Kohanim had Leviim. The Kohanim who come from Shevet Levi, they're also called Leviim. Tan Rabbanan, we bring the Pasuk, and we say, how do you know that a Kohen can only begin Avoda from the age of puberty, from the age of 13? Tan Rabbanan, because it says in Parshat Emor, when it's discussing the Mumim that are Posel a Kohen, it says, Ve'edaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Debel Aron Lemor, Ish, Mizaracha ledorotam, asher yeh bo mum, lo yikrav lakriv lechem elokav. So there it says, ish mizaracha. So ish mizaracha ledorotam, mikanam Rabbi Elazar, katan, pasul avodah, afilu tam. Katan can't do avodah, even if he's a tam. Because over here it says, ish mizaracha. Only once you're an ish, does mum affect you. But if you're not an ish, then mum is irrelevant, because you can't do avodah whatsoever. And so therefore, a katan cannot perform avodah. Me'ematai kasher l'avodah. So when is that threshold? When you become kasher l'avodah? Mishavi shtei se'arot. Once you reach the age of puberty, when you reach 13 years and one day. Aval echav ha'kohanim, ein menichin oto l'avod ad she'ben chaf. Even though, despite the fact that 13 and one day is the threshold when a kohen can come to avodah, the kohanim don't allow other kohanim to start working until they are 20. Why is that? So ikedam may some suggest ha'rabi hi. This is according to the position of Rabbi who said 20. And Rabbi said that you have to wait until 20 to do avoda. That's not because that's me'ikar adin, you have to wait till 20. That's just what the Kohanim did. The Kohanim didn't allow other Kohanim to start until 20, and that was a minhug amongst the Kohanim, and that's what Rabbi was quoting. Vigadamri, and some say, Rabbi itlei psul midrabanan. Rabbi believes that it's a psul midrabanan. Midoraita, you're right. He's qualified from 13 years and one day old. He's psul midrabanan until 20. Veha rabbonon hi ulchatchilahu delo. And that's what it means about Echav HaKohanim. They didn't let him do it. They didn't let him do it. Midrabonon. That's lechatchila. If he does do the avodah, it would be kasher. Lechatchila, he should wait until the age of 20. So what we've seen here with regards to the Kohanim is we know what the upper age limit was. Achi Yaskin, when he becomes too old. Too old, we saw two definitions of what too old was. Either he reached the point where he starts to quiver or shake. Or the other possibility is that he was unable to stand on one leg and perform some sort of action on his other leg. That's as terms of upper limit. As terms of the lower limit, we actually saw here a number of definitions. One of them was 13 years in one day, when he reached maybe shtei sarot. We saw ad shimit malei zekano, until his beard fills in. And we also saw the age of 20. Now, it's likely that the Itmaliz, Kano, and 20 are correlated or somewhat connected, even though the Halacha, when you look in the Mishnah Berurah, I'm brought down that 18 years old is around that threshold for Itmaliz, Kano. That means only prior to 18 do you need Itmaliz, Kano. After 18 years old, even without Itmaliz, Kano, he's already considered to be a Gadol. But let's assume that those two are the same. Nevertheless, now you have multiple starting periods for the Kohen. So Tosfot over here addresses that, and he brings an additional starting point from the Gemara and Sukkah, and in his reconciliation of that, we actually had come up with Dinim, the Gabe L'Shliach Tzibur, and Kohanim. So if you look on Tosfot Nitmaliz Kano, it says, Taimo de Perka Koreat HaMegillah. It's a problem from the Koreat HaMegillah, the Mishnah over there. Here we bring the Tosefta Ad Shemaliz Kano, that he can't do Nisiyat Kapayim until he has a full beard. Yet in a Koreat HaMegillah, it sounds like you're allowed to do Nisiyat Kapayim from the time that you reach Steisharot, from the time that you have reach the age of puberty till he's 13 in one day. So how do you reconcile between the Tosefta from Chagiga that says you have to have a full beard and the fact that by the Mishnah in Megillah it implies that you only need Shtei Sarot. And the same thing with Lired Lifnei Ateva. Lired Lifnei Ateva over here says Ad Shimalei Zkano, until he has a full beard. And over there it says that only once he has Shtei Sarot that he's qualified. So Tosfot answers and says, well, the difference is between, we mentioned before, whether he does it Arai. If he does it on a temporary basis, non-permanent basis, every once in a while it goes down, that's fine. That's not a problem with Kavod Tzibor. But for Shliach Tzibor, someone who's actually going to be the permanent Shliach Tzibor, then it's only sufficient if he has a full-grown beard. And in addition to that, he says, even in instances where it's Arai, and Erkrai Ba'alma, that he does it only on occasion, that's only true on a normal day. But on a day that's a Taniyot, Mamadot, Ananaseh Shimalei Zkano, then you need somebody who has a full beard. That's only Kavod Tzibor, that if your days, special days of tefillah, that someone with a full beard goes down before the tzibor, and not someone who has only reached point of shtei se'arot. In addition to that, he says, the Gemara in Sukkah says that afilu katan noset kapav, that a katan who yodea leset kapav, who knows how to do nesiat kapav, can go up and dochen. Over here we're saying that the threshold is either shtei se'arot or nitmalez kano. So how can you have a katan go up and dochen? Rashi over there says that the katan they're speaking about is not a katan mamash. It's not a katan who's a minor. Katan just means he's younger, but not a minor. Based on that, the quoted Minhag Ashkenaz, which we don't hold of necessarily, is that katanim don't duchen, because Rashi says that a katan doesn't duchen, and that's based on what he says in the Gemara and Sukkah. Nevertheless, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi's interpretation. He says the Gemara and Sukkah is talking about literally a katan. That means now we have three stages at which a kohen can duchen. Katan, then we have Shtei Sarot, and then we have Ayit Malei Zkano. So over here, Tosfos explains the distinction. He says that a Katan can only duchen with others there. Only if there are Gdolim that are also duchenim along with him. He can only do Birkat Kohanim if there are Gdolim that are also doing Birkat Kohanim. But by himself, a Katan is not permitted. After he reaches Shtei Sarot, after the time he reaches Shtei Sarot, then he can duchen on his own. He can give Birkat Kohanim even without other Kohanim present. So that's the distinction that Tosfot brings over here. This three-leveled or three-tiered distinction. One is Katan, who can only do something when there is a Gadol there with him. Number two is Shtei Sarot, which you can do Ekrai Ba'alma. You can do on occasion, but you can't do on a permanent basis. And the last is the fully bearded individual who can do it on a permanent basis and can be there even at times of special occasions. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this. The Halacha quotes this Tosafot, these three distinctions. It's brought down in Kuf Chav Chet. Lamed Dalet says Katan Shelo Hevi Shtei Se'arot. Katan that doesn't have Shtei Se'arot Eino Noset Kapav Bifnei Atzmo Klal. He's not allowed to be Noset Kapayim by himself. Aval Im Kohanim Sheim Gdolim. If they're alongside of other Kohanim that are Gdolim Noset, then he's allowed to be Noset Kapav. Lumod Ulit Chanech. That's how he learns, and that's how he is trained. Umi Shevi Shtei Se'arot. Once you reach the age of puberty, Noset Kapav Afilu Bifnei Atzmo. Then you can duchen even on your own. Umiyu dafka be'akrai ba'alma. That's only on occasion. That's not on a regular basis. Velo bikviut ad shimalez kano. Until his beard fully comes in. Az yochol yisid kapav afilu yechidei bekeva. Then he can do it alone and all the time. V'chol she'giyel d'shanim sh'ro'u li'it malod z'kano. Anybody reaches the age where he should have a beard. Afopi that he doesn't have. Shalom mitmalei krinim be'nit malez kano. Then he qualifies to be mitmalez kano. You don't literally have to have your beard. You have to reach the age by which the beard would be fully grown in. So you see the Shulchan Aruch paralleling the distinctions that Tosfot wrote over here. It says, by a katan can only go up and duchen with a gadol, and as much as he wants. As long as there's a gadol there, he can duchen anytime he wants. In terms of gdolim, after 13 years and one day after Shtei Sarot, he can duchen on an irregular basis. On occasion, he can duchen, but he can't be permanently the one who is duchening until he reaches Nitmalei Zkano, until his beard fills in. Then he can be duchening all the time. The Beryl Ocho over here asks, wait a minute, the Shulchan Aruch left out one of the qualifications mentioned in Tosafot. And that is, V'lo b'kviut, Ayin b'tosafot sukkah, demashma de'yom ha-kippurim, u'shar taniyot shemarbim b'rachamim, afilu ekrai chashiv, kamo keva. In those special days of tefillah, then even if it's a cry, it's only an occasion that this Kohen comes up, that's considered to be keva, both for the Shliach Tzibor and for the Kohen. And therefore, he's not entitled to go up on those special days. Ulafalei shalohi viyo achronim. None of the achronim quote this part of the Tosfot. Vitzarachiyon lemaseh. And lemaseh, we have to have tzarachiyon whether, on occasions like Yom Kippur, Taniyot, and so on and so forth, whether the Kohanim, who are 13 and one day, should go up, meaning that they're only supposed to go up on occasion, they shouldn't go up on those special occasions. The Mishnah Brura writes that since we only dochen on Yom Tov once in a blue moon, that's considered to be a cry for all Kohanim, and therefore a Kohen can dochen in any one of those Yomim Tovim where they dochen because it's so infrequent. Now that's not true in Eretz Yisrael. The din in Eretz Yisrael where they're dochening every day, the din might be different, and therefore someone who is 13 years in one day maybe should not dochen alone throughout the period of time or all every time or all the time. Now, it might be that there are two obligations here, or there are two issues over here. One is the tzibur and one's the kohen. From the kohen's perspective, he has to go up and dochen. If he is of a bar mitzvah age, he goes up and dochen. The other question is for the tzibur. What's considered kovod tzibur? To have a kohen who is proper age to be the one who dochens, and that's when she mitzvahs kano. So the din mitzad tzibur might be that we need on a regular basis to have someone there who's mitzvahs kano. Whereas for the kohen who's 13 years in one day, he can dochen. There's no problem. He's allowed to dochen. He should dochen. Just a question for the tzibur tzad, that they need to have someone else. They need to make sure that they have someone in Malez Kano, that is the person who is the regular Kohen and is the one who's present all the time, and not this Kohen who's 13 years and one day. Anyway, this Gemara that we just learned and the Tosfos explanation we see reflected in the halacha brought by the Shulchan Aruch. Minhag in general in Eretz Yisrael and other places that Ketanim do go up with their parents to Duchen, not like Rashi, to Duchen alongside of their parents. There are some places, I think amongst the Yekis, who don't allow Ketanim to go up and Duchen with their parents, and it seems to be pretty mekubal that all Kohanim go up, and we don't have Kohanim who are between the age of 13 and 20 or Nitmalez Kano who don't go up. But it might have been a derivative of Mishnah Berurah who says that by us everything's a cry because we don't duchen all the time, and then when they return to Eretz Yisrael and they did duchen all the time, they just continue that minhag of saying it's a cry ba'alma. Or if they're alongside of other Kohanim, nose, then he's allowed to be nose kapav. Alright, next Mishnah. This Mishnah again continues the structure that we've been using along here. Tahor b'kli cheres. That which is tahor b'kli cheres is tamei b'chol ha-kelim. All other kelim will be tamei. And then tahor b'chol ha-kelim. That which is tahor and all other kelim is tamei b'kli cheres. Tamei b'kli cheres. Once again, we bring a braita to explain the Mishnah. Tan Rabbanan. Avir kli cheres tamei v'gabo tahor. When it comes to a kli cheres, the avir, the airspace within the kli cheres is tamei and become tamei v'gabo tahor. On the other hand, the back of the kli cheres does not accept Tuma. If Tuma touches the back of a Kli Cheres, Kli Cheres does not become Tamei. Now, if a Kli Cheres is already Tamei, then it does convey Tuma through its Gabo, but it just does not accept Tuma through its Gabo. On the other hand, when it comes to Avir, Kol HaKelim, when it comes to the airspace near the other Kli, Tahor, they're not affected. Avir doesn't affect. On the other hand, Gaban, Tamei. The back of the Kli acts just like the internal part of the Kli. If Tuma touches the back of the Kli becomes Tamei, just like if it was touching the inside of the Kli. Nimtza, so that's our Mishnah. Tahor b'kli cheres, that which is tahor b'kli cheres, meaning the Gabo, tamei b'chol ha-kelim. On the other hand, by all of the Kelim, Gabo, the back of the Kli, does accept Tuma. Tahor b'chol ha-kelim, that which is tahor b'chol ha-kelim, meaning the avir, the airspace inside of the Kli, tamei b'kli cheres, by Kli cheres will accept Tuma. Menahani mile, how do we know this is true by the Kli cheres? Du tanu rabbanan. We have a braita that says tochol. And that's the pasuk that's found in Parshat Shmini, which says, "B'chol kli cheres asher yipol mehem el tocho." Any kli cheres that has that which falls into it, kol asher b'tocho yitma. Anything that's inside of it will become tamei. Voto tishboru, and you will break the kli cheres. Now the Gemara says, based on this, tocho. What does it mean, tocho? Tocho inside of it means vafu pish lo naga. Inside of it, even though it never touched the kli. Ata omer vafu pish lo naga. You're suggesting it means it didn't touch. Oenu elohim kein naga. The tochol means inside the kli when you touch the inside of the kli. Rabbi Yonatan ben Avtulumus Omer Nemar, it says l'tochol l'tamei. When it comes to being mitamei other things, it uses the term tochol because it says b'chol kli cheres l'shipol mehem l'tochol kol asher b'tochol yitma. Tochol, anything inside of it yitma will become tamei. V'nemar tochol l'tamei, which is the first tochol in the pasuk, which is b'chol kli cheres l'shipol mehem el tochol that falls into it. Meaning that one of these tamei items falls into the kli cheres, the tamei, to make the kli cheres itself accept tuma. Ma tocho hamur le tamei. When it's talking about the tocho to convey tuma, afo pishon no naga, over there it's clear that he didn't touch the object. Af tocho hamur li tamei, the tocho, when it's talking about the acceptance of tuma by the kli cheres, afo pishon no naga, must be a case where it didn't touch. Vehoto minolon. And how do you know that the latter pasuk, when it says asher bit tocho yitma, how do you know that tocho is talking about being in the airspace but not touching? Amar Rabbi Yonatan, because the Torah heida al kli cheres. Torah says about a kli cheres, va'afilu malei chardal, that all it says is anything inside of it will become Tameh. Well, anything inside of it could even include a Kli Cheres full of Chardal, mustard seeds. Mustard seeds are problematic because you have multiple seeds in there. So only the first or the outer edge of those mustard seeds are able to touch the Kli Cheres itself and accept Tuma directly from the Kli Cheres. But all the seeds that are in the middle, they don't have any direct contact with the Kli Cheres. And you can't say that the Tuma is conveyed by the other mustard seeds around it for a number of reasons. Number one is, in order to convey Tuma, you have to be the size of a kibetza. And obviously, a chardal, a mustard seed, is less than a kibetza, so it cannot convey Tuma. Number two is, ein ochel mitame ochel. In general, ochel does not pass Tuma to other ochel. You need to use liquids in between, or you have to have a kli that conveys the Tuma to ochel. And number three is, even if it does convey Tuma, the first one touches the wall of the kli, which is a rishon, becomes a sheni. Then it touches the next stage of shlishi, then a revi. That doesn't even apply by chulin. After that, there's no Tuma that's conveyed. So how do the mustard seeds in the middle become tamei unless you say that the airspace of the kli cheres is mitamei? And that's the proof of the Gemara here, that when it comes to the conveyance of Tuma from the kli cheres to items inside of it, that even when they're not touching the kli cheres, do they accept Tuma? Because you have this possibility of it being malei chardal and still accepting Tuma. This is problematic for someone like the Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi does it in some other places also, who say that ochel is only mikabel Tuma bekabetza. Generally, we assume that when it says in the Gemara kabetza by Tuma, it means that you need a kabetza to convey Tuma, but you can accept Tuma bekoshuhu. Over here, if you believe also to accept Tuma, you need a kabetza, then if the Kli Cheres is full of chardal, guess what? It never accepts Tuma because you don't have a kabetza to accept Tuma. So Tosfos has to go out of his way to explain here, according to Rabbeinu Tam, and again, those times that Rashi says a similar type of idea, that we're not literally talking about mustard seeds over here, we're talking about even a Kli Cheres full of eggs. Even if it's full of eggs, they are not going to accept Tuma. The eggs that are touching the outer edge of the Kli Cheres are in contact with it, they'll come mekabel Tuma. But how do the eggs in the middle then get the Tuma from the Kli Cheres? Elim Kain, you say that the avir, the airspace, is mitzvameh the area. Why did it pick chardal then, if it really is talking about a kibetza? So the Rabbeinu Tam says, it's tamei bekoshu. So that's why they mentioned chardal, even though really you need a kibetza in there. Pretty far-fetched. It's a difficult way to explain the Gemara, and it seems to favor the idea that in terms of acceptance of Tuma, you only need a koshu. For conveying Tuma, you need a kibetza, and to accept Tuma, you do not require a kibetza. Okay, we'll stop over here, and we'll continue with this Gemara tomorrow.